99.1.
Finally, radio that is family friendly.
Look, a shooting star. Hurry, Daddy, make a wish.
My wish has already come true.
CJAM 99.1. All wish come true.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
That's right. You're listening to You Talking to Me on CJAM. I'm your host, Big JD. If you're serious about your hair, you simply go to a professional. You go to someone who has been extensively educated, has worked as a stylist for many years, and someone you're comfortable with, of course. Joining us today is professional stylist and owner of Vos Hair Lounge, Michael Reno. Michael, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me, Big JD.
So how long have you been doing this? How long have you been cutting hair?
I've been cutting hair and for about 15 years now.
Oh, that's a while.
Give or take a day or two.
Yeah. And where were you educated at? Was it locally?
Well, I did some local training in Windsor. That's where I got my certificate, basically. Mm-hmm. And then I did extensive training in Toronto. I've been to Vegas, New York.
Wow.
All continuing the education.
Mm-hmm. Great. Did you once you were done with your main education, I guess, did you intern somewhere? Do students have to do that, or is that something that you kind of do on your own? Or
yeah, no, they don't have to do it. It was a choice of mine because I didn't feel comfortable enough just going out and just cutting hair right away. I wanted to be trained a little bit more. So then when I had like a guest sitting in my chair, mm-hmm. I could properly take care of them. So I trained under a local person and trained for about a year, and then I got some furthering education within that year.
Right. So you would say like interning or doing something like that beforehand can only be a good thing.
Eh? Yeah, exactly. Because you know, at the end of 5 years, it takes about 5 years to build a clientele, mm-hmm. and you want to get as much education as you possibly can. So then that way, when you start taking guests on, you can retain them a lot better than what you would just learning on their hair.
Right, right.
So that way, you're minimizing the mistakes, mm-hmm. and the learning curve's a lot easier for you.
Right.
So it just makes you feel a little bit more comfortable. Made me feel a little bit more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And did you do that? Was that like a local thing interning? And then, so what did you do when, I guess it's still ongoing probably that you travel and do some things. Are some of them events and things, or what kinds of things do you do?
There's many different things. We go to about 5 classes a year.
Okay.
Those are in classes where you take notes and you have technical, like angles and even the color. And then you do fashion shows. The sky's the limit. You can do basically anything.
So does do things change? Like, what is maybe some of the bigger things that change actually when you go to some of these different classes and events and things like? Through research, do things change as far as hair and things and things that you need to use for you do?
Definitely. They're always making it easier. Different techniques, making mm-hmm. the tools a little bit more ergonomic.
Right,
it's a huge market now,
and
technology behind color shampoos
that all changes.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Dramatically, very quickly as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
And speaking of color and things like that, do they come out with new colors still?
Or, they do actually. Like constantly, we're always getting different blondes. It's what's ever in that season. They're going to come out with a new, new trendy colors, about 5-6 each color line has them. Yeah, so if blondes are in for the summer, they're coming out with different tones, different shades. Like 1 year cool blondes are in, next year warmer blondes are in.
Mm-hmm.
The winter time.
Explain to us what the difference is between cooler and warmer.
Cool.
Is it the shades or?
Yeah, exactly. The cooler blondes would be a little bit more ashy, a little bit more weedy.
Mm-hmm.
Warmer would be a little bit more goldy, a little bit of copper, strawberry.
Right.
Yeah, depending on your skin tone.
So you've probably had a lot of experience with blondes. Do they truly have more fun? Or it's interesting to note that there are so many different shades when somebody says, you know, somebody's blonde. Well, to you, that means something different because there must be so many shades.
You have to match up their eye coloring. You have to match up their skin tone and whatever your undertones are as well. You have to worry about them. And still, if you're lifting somebody that's brown, wants to go blonde, you have to get past the red stage, the orange stage. So then that way, 2 weeks into their color, they're not turning brassy on you.
Wow. See, those are the things that come into play when you're a professional. And I would imagine there's some places like in the city that I want to be blonde. Okay. You're going to take what you get.
Exactly. It's not like picking a color off the shelf and just putting it on, because your canvas has to be pretty solid. It has to be almost it's like painting. It's an artistry, you know.
Right.
So if you're starting with a red canvas, or if you're starting with a white canvas, the paint that you put on, it's going to be different. It's the same thing with the hair as well. So it's mostly what you're putting the color on is what's going to give you your final result.
And like I say, there's probably places around that you don't really get that choice. That you just tell them, I want to be blonde, and they're going to just slap on whatever. And
That's, you know, it's all choices, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe the person isn't as educated, like they didn't take the time to educate themselves. So.
But I think that's the difference between going to a professional salon or, you know.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's like somebody that cares and somebody that, you know, is just in it for a job, you know.
Yeah.
And somebody, you know, is in it for a career and they love it. And
so, where they bang them out like Tim Hortons.
Exactly. 25 seconds.
Yeah. So you, you've been on both sides of the fence, as an employee and also an employer. You've worked for others and, have worked and do work for yourself. And we're going to get more into that because, you're actually opening up your own place.
Correct.
And sort of again, you obviously would prefer to be running your own place, right?
Well, it's what I prefer. Not everybody prefers that. I like the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I've had the opportunity out of life to learn from many different people, and I feel like if I don't take the opportunity and explore what I've learned, then it's kind of like settling out of life, and I don't feel like settling. And I want to be able to help people as well, help the young stylists and help them grow, watch them grow, and help them having a career instead of a job.
Well, that's a very interesting point, because a lot of people need to start somewhere, and some of them are going to maybe go work at a, you know, the bang them out type place or something like that. But some of these people that are coming out of school, like you, are going to eventually one day be working as a professional, and they need to get a start someplace, which is really cool because that gives you the opportunity to do that. And as well, you know, being an employer, you're able to do that, whereas being an employee, you may have an assistant, but you know, there's not as much that you can do for others, which is really cool. Now you've also, you've been, not that long ago, a partner with your own company. And, how would you say that kind of differs maybe than, what you're going through now, and we're going to get into this soon, is opening your own place.
Opening my own is really fun. I was a partner before. I loved it. I was a partner for about 10 years, and then I decided myself to take a different avenue. And basically, I went out on my own. I was kind of tired of owning a salon. I wanted to get rid of the headache and just basically take it easy for a couple years. And I felt like I got sidetracked from what I really loved, because there was a lot of responsibility. And you know, I left my place, and my partner took it over, and I rented a chair at another salon and just kind of relaxed for about a year, and just took an enormous amount of courses and basically fell in love with the career again, and then I was up for another challenge. So basically I went on a vacation, and now I'm back.
Would you say this had anything to do with it? The fact that you were a partner, so you don't really have 100% say. Does this kind of change things for you? You know, the fact that you'll be running the show.
So. Yeah, it changes dramatically.
Yeah.
I have to do everything on my own, but I have a great team behind me as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to do everything on my own, but yet I don't have to do everything on my own, because I still consult with my team, and I'm building the team this time. It's like being a head coach of your own football team, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You can pick and choose who you want, and you can get people that match you the best, because everybody has to pick a match for the team to work properly. So I'm really excited, and it's totally different this time.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different.
You're very successful at what you do. What would you say, you know, maybe the top one or two things, if you can think that attribute to your success, you know, as a stylist?
Positive attitude, mm-hmm. and always willing to learn and never settling.
And something that I found really interesting is the fact that, and I don't know to what extent this is or whatever, but I know that a lot of your clients, you don't charge their little kids for their haircuts. And I just thought that was totally awesome.
Yeah. No, I don't actually, because I have children of my own.
Mm-hmm.
And one day those children will be guests of mine. And that's when I'll have my chance to charge them for mm-hmm. their color or their cuts. But when they're little kids, you know, why not? That $5 or that $15 that they could be spending, parents can save that for their education, or they can buy them something.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that must be, your clients must really be appreciative of that.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. I have a lot more children now than what I've ever had before, actually.
Yeah.
And it's not because it's free. They value it, and I value mm-hmm. all the many years that they've been coming to me for. So.
Yeah,
yeah,
it'd be like a lifetime for them once they're
exactly.
old enough to come in on their own, and and then you have that next generation.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about the future.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about some of the hairstyles, because it seems that some of the older hairstyles, like from back in the day, seem to come around like a full circle, and some of them come, I guess, do they come in and out of style?
They do. They always make a full circle, but when they come back around the second time, there's always a little bit of changing, mm-hmm. Always a little bit of changes to it. And there's also a different technique to get to the end result as well.
Right.
So yeah, they always come back full circle, but with a new little twist for it. Yeah.
A couple things I want to mention, like a particular one, I guess, that was made popular in the 50s, the Elvis kind of thing with that, like a big bouffant in the front, called the pompadour.
Is that
something that's, have you seen that come around again, or is that one that?
Oh yeah, that one's, it just came around again within last, about a year ago, actually.
Have you seen that come and go and come, like?
Or, well, I wasn't around for the first time, but...
Well, no, but I mean, has it, like, say, time, 10 years ago, did it come into style again?
Yeah.
Do you see some things go in and out of style, sort of? Or?
Yeah, exactly. Especially with the grease with John Travolta there.
Okay, yeah, the ducktail type.
Yeah, that was on... That was... that's just been in, actually, for last year, mm-hmm. like with all the tattoos and all what they're called.
And
like
the sideburns
reasons.
Still,
yeah.
too?
They still do that as well.
You got to go with the whole thing. They wouldn't just have the part of it there, I guess, the, you know.
Yeah, you got to go all out.
And that's something you got to deal with, too, right? I mean, that's all part of it, right? The sideburns or the, you know, the different kind of face decorations that people do, the line, just the small lines and things like that.
Yeah, all the fades. And all it's true artistry. It's like... I've seen people put the Jedi, was the Darth Vader shaved into the into the side. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and the CN Tower. I saw the CN Tower in one guy's side of his head before as well.
And that's what's interesting is that you know, to do a lot of these things, it's a lot of it's sort of specialty, and I think it's got to be done by a professional, because not everybody does that.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean. And it's the professional, I think, that's creative and. Yeah. You know, that's where that artistry comes in, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's attention to detail.
Yep. And,
That's basically all it is attention to detail. And then when it comes around the second time, they have different tools where you can achieve that mm-hmm. at a quicker and easier pace.
And another thing was the shag.
The shag, yeah.
Yeah, not to be confused with the carpet.
Yeah.
But
that's something different.
Although some people wear a carpet, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
They refer to
they shag it out.
The toupee type thing. Do you deal anything with toupee type things? Like,
I don't deal with actual toupees.
You wouldn't have to trim them. They don't grow, right?
No, exactly. They're not the best guess.
Yeah.
But that's another art by itself. But we deal a lot with like theater wigs, or we deal a lot with extensions.
Okay,
so
right.
So it's a form of a toupee, but not really, you know. like toupees on men, they just set it on the head and then just cut it a couple times, you know.
Right, okay.
Change the styles up here or there.
Would somebody come in with their toupee and say, I want to just change this a little bit, and you cut it, or no?
I haven't personally done that, okay. But I've seen it done. Yeah. And that's exactly what they do. They have a little mannequin head where they take the toupee off and they put it on a styrofoam mannequin head, and they just cut it just like a normal haircut because it's real hair.
Yeah.
So they use the same tools, same everything to cut it. And they what they do is they place it on the guest afterwards, and then they just trim it up a little bit, just fine tune it, so then that way it doesn't look like you're wearing a toupee.
So you've also done things like mohawks and stuff like
as
well. Yeah.
It's my specialty.
That's cool.
Different colors.
Maybe you can help me out. So yeah, the old styles come back around, and that's kind of neat. So you see these things come and go, I guess you got to be well versed in the styles as well.
Yeah, exactly.
What happens when something like that comes around? I mean, are these styles that you've dealt with in school and that type of thing too, or in further training?
Yeah, well, fortunately now I've been around long enough that I'm starting to see some styles come back. So the basic training that you learn in school that you thought that you would never use, you're actually using it nowadays and making sure that you're getting fullness of the hair, the curl, all that stuff we learned in school. And I never thought I'd be using it because at that time, the Jennifer Aniston haircut, very straight.
Right.
Very leery was in. And
kind of like, plain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Kind of plain, average. And now I'm glad that I kind of listened in school because I can use some of those older techniques onto the newer style and achieve that look.
Right. I just want to ask you before we take a break. Do you think appearance is helpful as a stylist, you know, as far as building clientele and, you know, for your business? Tell me about, you know, your take
definitely.
On appearance.
You attract what you are and who you are. You can't be anybody different than yourself, and your appearance is going to attract the same type of people.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have mohawks, you're going to, attract some of that mohawk clientele.
Right.
You know, somebody that's really conservative and a little bit shy is probably not going to be attracted to that person with the mohawk. They're going to be attracted to a person that's more conservative.
Right.
So yeah, you definitely attract who you
are.
So
if you're cutting hair in sweatpants and a ripped up t-shirt, then that's the kind of clientele you might.
You'll have all the rockers for sure, man.
It sounds good. So we're going to take a quick break, and I want to come back and talk a little bit about product and the equipment that you use and the opening of Vos Hair Lounge.
Very good.
We'll be back right after this.
CJAM, CJAM, FM, 99.1, Windsor, Detroit, Campus Community Radio.
And we're back. I'm talking to Michael Reno, actually, of Vos Hair Lounge. It's not, you don't refer to it as a salon, it's a lounge. And there's a big reason for that.
Yeah, definitely, because we just want people, when they come in, feel more like a family, more like you're coming into, you're a guest at our house. So then that way you're not just coming into a business, you feel a little bit more comfortable and everybody knows your name, just like Norm from Cheers.
Oh, yeah. I want to talk to you, we're going to get more into Vos. I want to talk to you a little bit about product and how they can possibly help or harm your hair. I mean, there must be things out there that are not good for your hair that, you know, are promoted as, you know.
There was just one recently, it's called the Brazilian Blowout, that was very popular, and it had formaldehyde in it.
Oh, wow. What does that do to your hair?
Well, it helps to smooth it out, for one thing. It works really well, but then when you heat it up with the straightening iron at a 450 degrees, the smoke and the smell, you're breathing it in, it's not very good for your lungs. So Canadian health agency had to pull it from the market. Then they had to revise it.
That's not good.
Yeah, that was just the latest one.
I want to talk a little bit about the equipment that you use, especially some things that are a must-have. I mean, obviously you use scissors and hair dryers and mirrors and things like that, but I mean, that's just, I guess, standard equipment. But are there, some kind of specialty equipment that is important to you? And
well, yes, the shear scissors, those are specialties, actually, because you can get shears that are lower grade, which would probably cost about $100, and then you can always get the higher grade quality, which would be about $1,500. So those are very important to the trade because it just makes it easier and a lot more fun to cut hair with sharper shears than what it would be like doll shears. And sharper shears gives you more of a precise, even haircut. They don't push the hair, so and then they don't even cause split ends on the ends. Some of the cheaper qualities, they cause split ends right away. So you'll be going in, getting a haircut, thinking you're taking care of the split ends, but yet the shears that your hairstylist is using is causing them. So yeah, so some specialty shears and specialty tools are very important, just like clippers, combs especially, because some combs cause static and other combs keep everything.
Like the material that they're made out of?
Yeah, the material. One's carbon fiber, some are just plastic. So yeah, really, really huge. A lot of technology has gone behind these combs and the different angles that they're set at. It's huge, actually. It's really huge. There's a lot of things that the general public doesn't know what goes into a haircut.
Yeah.
And it's just enormous.
Yeah, on both sides, I guess. I mean, just, you know, the things that go into the haircut itself, but then the equipment that people don't realize. I mean, you know, everybody's familiar with a comb, but how many people realize that the material that it's made out of makes a difference?
Yeah, exactly.
Is there... Is there a particular piece of equipment that you, not so much a scissor mirror thing, or something that you are you use all the time, or kind of couldn't live without? Is it like a the jack of all equipment type thing, or is there anything in particular like that?
That's a good question. That I can't live without.
Not really.
Yep. I like my long comb, which the teeth are spread out at a nice pace, so then that way I'm not tangling the hair.
Okay. Would that be used on a particular type of hair?
Yeah, a lot of the thicker hair. Most people have thicker, coarser hair. So, yeah, I like using that one. Clips. You know what? I apologize for that. Clips are very huge. The clips that I have grab the hair, so I don't have the hair falling out as I'm trying to cut a section. It just nicely puts it up there without tugging on the hair or making a kink in it. So the clips are actually the most important, not the most important.
Is that like a single piece thing, like a barrette type thing, like a clip that you just put in?
Exactly.
Keeps the hair out of your way. So you can.
So that way you can deal with that section that you're working on.
There's the jack of all tools right there, the clip.
You can use it for updos, colors, cutting.
Now, I want you to tell us a little bit about assistants and their importance of having an assistant. Yeah,
I work with my assistant very closely. We're basically a team. So when we discuss a color or discuss a style, we sit down with the guests and we all three of us converse and we come up with a plan and we come up with a style that would best suit that guest. So she's more than just assistant. She's part of my team. She doesn't just shampoo hair and then send them to the chair. Sometimes my guests actually prefer talking to my associate, and they feel more comfortable with her, but they feel comfortable with me cutting. So they're a huge, huge part of the team. I like to involve my associate as much as possible because I can't do it without her. Actually, I couldn't even
attempt
it without her. Basically, she's a great deal of my day.
And that's obviously things come into play there. I mean, the fact that you're busy.
She books my appointments. She takes care of because when people call in, they need to get in right away. She knows how
she juggles that.
And some people just go to her for her color and then they just leave after, you know. Then they want her to blow dry her hair. They don't always need me, so I try not to have people just dependent on me, and she teaches them as well as what I do is teach them how to do their hair themselves at home. So she does a quite deal of work. Actually.
And I guess you can take care of all the more important things that rather than some of the smaller things. I want to get into Vos Hair Lounge. Let's talk about that. It's your new place.
Yes.
And where is it located?
It's located at 1037 Olette, right across the street from Hotel Du.
And I want to talk a little bit about the atmosphere there, sort of like a club atmosphere, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. We we have it set up like a loft.
Yeah.
We have a sound system there. You can get like cappuccinos, espresso. It's basically like just like coming into your house, and the music that we play is a little bit eclectic, electronic.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we play some jazz. It's just a really cool atmosphere. Like I said, everybody's talking. Everybody knows your name. We're not just stuck with just talking to one particular person. Everybody converses together. All our clients talk together, and it's a really cool atmosphere. It's nobody feels uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
There's no egos. It's just a really, really nice laid back atmosphere.
Great.
We have people stop by. They just come in, stop for a visit, say hi. They're there for an hour just chatting with mm-hmm. people. It's really cool.
And do you have an actual opening date?
We are opening July the 5th, and that will be our first day for business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
then
great.
We're having an open house at the end of August, and it'll be huge.
And what about advertising for the place? Are you relying on some of the new media and the web and things like that?
We have Facebook, we have a website, but we don't per se really advertise to like the mass people.
Right.
Basically, our guests advertise for us.
Mm-hmm.
People just walk out with awesome hair, and
there you go.
And they talk about it.
Yeah.
So it's real cool.
And that's what they're going to get at Vos Hair Lounge.
Exactly.
I like the fact that it's a lounge. It's not Vos Hair Salon. It's Vos Hair Lounge.
Exactly.
Very cool.
And we do more than just hair there as well. We do aesthetics, everything.
That's right. You're yeah. adding lots some different things in there.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a one-stop
right.
lounge.
Is that all that going to be available once you guys open up right away too, everything?
Yes, everything will be available. Facials, manicures, pedis,
mm-hmm.
Anything to do with skin and hair.
Very cool. Do salons of that nature, or will you hold any type of events or things like that? I know you'll probably have a grand opening.
Yeah, we'll always have parties. We'll have blow dry parties. We will teach people how to do makeup, take care of their skin.
Oh wow, you do some training.
But once a month we'll be throwing a party, like red carpet parties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, every month we'll be throwing a new party. Actually,
very cool.
But it's more like a get together rather than drinking and all that. It's
right.
It's, you know, bring your own blow dryer is what we call
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
you know.
Doing something like that, is it will you have some type of entertainment? Or because I know like with this being more like a lounge thing, I mean, you have music there and stuff like...
Oh, yeah, definitely. We have a couple of DJs that spin for us.
Mm-hmm.
We have some people playing like acoustics. It's yeah, that's always covered.
Yeah.
Always covered. And if not, then we just play internet radio that,
right.
that has some...
But it's cool, the fact that it's... I mean, you have a sound system in there,
yeah.
and that, again, goes into that, you know, that new style,
exactly.
that lounge atmosphere, yeah. as opposed to...
Yeah, we have Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Everything that you can think of is like just like a lounge, a coffee lounge. You
Very
go
cool.
there, you get everything.
And I know in the past you've had places where you've had like a little area out front as well, outside.
Yes.
Will you have that again, or
yeah,
do you
we'll
have area
another
for that?
Patio as
yeah,
well, for
very
sure.
Good.
Yeah, people love sitting out there on a nice summer day, you know, just
mm-hmm.
doodling with.
And it's important to note that you have parking right there as well, which
oh,
is
yes.
a plus always.
Yeah, we have 20% run out of parking, and
oh, I don't awesome. Know about that.
Well, hopefully,
Bose yeah. Hair Lounge on Olet. Where is it again? Give us the address.
It's at 1037 Olet,
mm-hmm.
right across the street from Hotel Du.
Okay. And a phone number for?
The phone number is 254-8623. And if you ever forget it, it's 254-VOCE, V-O-C-E.
Yeah, that's great. I really appreciate you being on the show, Michael, and wish you great success with Vos.
Thanks a lot.
And so there you have some insight into the world of professional styling from Michael Reno, owner of Vos Hair Lounge. And thanks for joining us, everyone. And we'll see you next week on You Talking to Me. I'm Big JD. Thanks for listening.